This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. Reporters use the term beat calls when we check in with sources on our beat. There's an ongoing survey of teens, 20 and 30-somethings, millennials, that does extra diligence to make sure that people of color are in the sample. The latest data are in. The University of Chicago's Kathy Cohen is founder of this Gen Forward survey. Professor, good morning.
Thanks so much for having me.
So your latest survey, the research, asked millennials about their attitudes surrounding education. Let's start with the college part first. I think most people agree college can be or is expensive. But a more interesting question, right, is do people think it's worth it? Is it worth it? What do you find?
It's a very interesting question. We ask our respondents, millennials 18 to 34, the importance of college. Is college, for example, necessary to be successful in today's work world? And we find a split based on race and ethnicity. In particular, majorities of Asian American and Latinx millennials say that college is necessary for success. But majorities of African American and whites say, in fact, that there are kind of many ways to succeed today without a college education. So there's a race and ethnic split that I think we want to pay attention to.
Yeah, I mean, we do live in a world, right, where there's intense competition from educated people overseas. One thinks of India, one thinks of China and beyond. Yet people aren't fully persuaded that the college education is necessary. But by race, what could possibly account for that?
Well, I think, for example, if we take the case of African Americans, quite often these young adults live in communities where access to college is not guaranteed and, in fact, can be difficult, both in terms of cost and also in terms of their own kind of preparation from educational systems. And so they have seen individuals in their communities find other ways to succeed. In fact, it's been a necessity. A majority might say that there are multiple pathways to success, education being one.
You think that's also at work, a similar idea with the white respondents who also thought that, you know, college is important, but not maybe supremely important?
This is an example where, in fact, we might say that something like white privilege provides whites with an opportunity to succeed even without a college education. The data tells us, in fact, that whites are more likely to get a job with just a high school education than some African Americans with a college degree. So again, in terms of lived experience, certain young whites may look around and say, look, my father and mother were able to succeed in terms of success being a job that put food on the table, and they didn't have access to a college education. It's coming from different positions in terms of privilege and access. But again, I think it's informed by one's lived experience, and it speaks to the very kind of different ways in which millennials think about the world, have lived in the world, and therefore the influences that impact their public opinion.
Yet Latino millennials are a little bit more persuaded that college is important.
Latinx and Asian Americans. And here it might be a question of what does success look like. So for these groups that may be heavily populated, in particular by members who are immigrants, getting a job, especially a basic job, may not guarantee success. And so success in that case is facilitated by a college education. And I think it is important to notice that, in fact, it's Asian American and Latinos who are most committed to the idea that college is necessary, a necessary pathway to succeed in today's work world.
But I'm hearing here I shouldn't misinterpret your data to suggest that these groups don't think education is important to them.
That's exactly right. And I really want to emphasize this. I don't want your listeners to go away thinking, for example, that African American and white millennials don't value education. I think instead what we're seeing here is that they understand that there have to be multiple pathways to success. To say that education is the only pathway to success would be to neglect an opportunity for those young people to have meaningful lives and to engage in something that we might call successful employment.
Okay, we've been talking about college here, but you also asked millennials about grade school. Did it K through 12 prepare them for the real world? What'd you find?
So when we asked respondents if their K through 12 education prepared them for college? Overwhelming majority say yes, it prepared me for college. When we ask if their K through 12 education, however, prepared them for the workforce, we see something a bit different. In fact, the majority of young people across race and ethnicity say that, in fact, their K through 12 education prepared them fairly well or actually poor or very poor for the workforce. So what's clear among these millennials is that they believe, in fact, their education is preparing them for college. But if they're not going to college, they're not going to be prepared from their K through 12 education.
That is a really interesting finding. There's almost an irony built into that.
They recognize that there are different skill sets necessary, right, for being prepared to go to college, where, in fact, one is doing hopefully critical thinking and writing, and being prepared to succeed in the workforce, where a different set of skills may be necessary. And I think they realize, at least as education is currently constructed, it might not be able to prepare one for both avenues.
Well, that's certainly a note for any teachers listening, right? So, K through 12 or, in fact, college, because there are certain basic skills you need, but there's also certain basic skills you need to succeed in the workforce.
Well, it's also a discussion about kind of what does our workforce look like and what does work look like and how young people think they need to be prepared for the workforce, what types of skills. And they see, you know, again, they see a delineation between what happens, for example, in a classroom and what happens in an office building. And maybe we want to rethink why there are such kind of separate perceptions and maybe preparation for those two endeavors.
It's true. I know of some charter schools that are very focused on intense professional internships in high school for each and every student to bridge that kind of gap between the world of education and the world of having a job.
Well, you know, we also found data that students, for example, who were exposed to career training and technical education, not exactly vocational education, but something a bit more complicated, thought it was a real benefit to them, that it gave them academic exposure, but also a set of skills that would allow them to be prepared for the workforce. So we may, again, want to be rethinking how we think about curriculum and skills that are a part of an essential K through 12 education.
So some of the respondents, the millennials, embrace this idea of learning practical things as part of the curriculum.
Absolutely. Respondents who were exposed to CTE, career training and technical education, actually had very high evaluations of those experiences and suggested that they would do it again. So I think the reimagining of what education might look like is something that millennials would be open to in the future in terms of a policy prescription for rethinking education.
Your team also asked about support among millennials for charter schools and got some very interesting reactions.
The data that we have suggests that, in fact, millennials across race and ethnicity support charter schools. They support voucher programs that would allow students to receive government funding to attend a private school. And they overwhelmingly support voucher programs for low-income students. Now, the context I want to provide is that these were direct questions. Do you support charter schools? And again, overwhelmingly, young people and young people of color said yes to that. However, when we ask the question, when you think about K through 12 education, what are the top three interventions that we could make that would really improve K through 12 education? And we gave them a list of 13 possibilities, from, you know, increasing school funding to things like expanding school choice for charter schools and voucher programs. What we found there is that the top three interventions that were provided across race and ethnicity had nothing to do with charter schools or voucher programs.
They don't pick those first from the list. What do they pick?
Increased school funding, improve teacher training, and pay teachers more, right? And charters and vouchers are far down on the list. So that's what I want to make sure that people understand. Young people support more options in terms of quality education. So charters and vouchers, they say yes. But charters and vouchers are not their priority in terms of how they would allocate funds to improve education.
No, I take that point. But I notice since you're data is also broken down by race. There was a lot of support by African-American millennials for this idea of school choice.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think that's that surprising in the sense that in many African-American communities, it is hard to access quality education. And so those young people are supporting as many programs as possible that might improve education in their neighborhoods. But again, even though they support charter schools, when we ask them, what are the top three interventions, and charter schools is a possibility there, they don't choose charter schools in terms of that list. They say increase public funding of education. They say improve teacher training. And they say pay teachers more. And again, charter schools are much lower on the list of interventions that they would support.
Kathy Cohen is a poli-sci professor at the University of Chicago and founder of this ongoing survey, Gen Forward. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.